storms on the sea. We sometimes hear about them. Two stories earlier this year, February the 17th. Five men were lost when the Miss Ally capsized in heavy seas. A ship out of Woods Harbor, Nova Scotia, on February the 17th, and that was of this year. May the 18th, four men were lost from Tabusantak, New Brunswick, on May the 18th. It is not unheard of for people to be lost at sea. Storms arise, not just fishing boats, but great ships that go in the sea sometimes break up and are capsized. Great tankers, oil rigs, and the like. Great storms that arise, waves that are meters high. We don't often think about this. In a bygone day, it was a much more common thing that if you had to travel over the seas, it had to be by ship. It had to be, whether going to Europe or going to Asia, it was by ship. And I realized, as I was thinking about this, that it used to be that a lot more hymns and choruses and songs were written about the sea with a nautical metaphor. Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. I don't think we've sung that one for a while, have we? Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. We'll have to do that sometime, won't we? There was one that I came across. O Lord, be with us when we sail. O Lord, be with us when we sail upon the lowly deep. Our guard when on... Oh, and I can't even read my own writing. When on the something dock, yeah. The midnight watch we keep. Well, a wise man once said, the more intelligent you are, the worse your handwriting. You get the picture. But it happens, and we don't sing much with a nautical theme anymore, but it used to be, as I say, that there were a lot more songs, hymns, gospel songs with a nautical theme to them. Because people traveled on the water, traveled on the sea. It was more of a reality for us. And so that seems to have gone by the wayside, and for people it's out there. For us, for the most part, it's out there unless somebody is involved in the fishery or shipping or a sailor or anything of that sort. But it is something that's past us. But still, it's a good picture of the great and daunting challenge that's before people. When the storm arose, when the disciples and Jesus were on the sea, they were faced with something that we all face. They were faced with fear. Fear is the anticipation of loss, isn't it? We could lose something. We could lose something that we find our security in, something that we take our pleasure in, something that we treasure. When we fear, we anticipate the possibility of losing. That's what fear is all about. So obviously, when the disciples were in the ship with Jesus, they anticipated that they could be lost in the storm. Now someday, I confess, I would love to be in a boat in a storm like that. I would like to see what it's like. It's not likely going to happen. In a few weeks, Debbie and I we're going to Newfoundland. We're going to take the ferry from North Sydney to Port Abbas, just about a 4 or 5 hour crossing. Maybe a nice storm will come up then. Hey, that would be cool, don't you think? Woo! But they anticipated the possibility of losing their lives. But when we read it, we realize they were the safest place they could possibly have been in the midst of the storm with Jesus. They were faced with that possibility, but the safest place they could possibly be was with Jesus. Because Jesus was going to Jerusalem. He wasn't going to end up at the bottom of the sea. The disciples weren't going to end up at the bottom of the sea because Jesus had a purpose for them, that he would carry the message of his life, his death, and his resurrection. They didn't realize that yet. They didn't know that yet. But with Jesus in the midst of the storm, they were the safest place that they could possibly be. They had to learn that. And we're in the process of learning that as well. That when we get in the midst of life, when we're with Jesus, the safest place to possibly be is with him. Jesus said, "I am with you. I am with you always." And we hear so much in the scripture, the word, the command, the promise, the encouragement. Fear not, I am with you. I am with you no matter what. And so no matter what storms arise in our life, we need not fear because we are with Jesus, as we are in Jesus Christ. And so often, though, we react like the disciples. You see, fear, though, and we need to think about it, fear, when we think of fear, we think about fear. There's a storm. Fear. When our palms get sweaty, when our heart beats fast, when we get our attention focuses, when the adrenaline runs high and all we can see is the possibility of loss. But when we read the scripture, like love, fear is not simply an emotion. It's deeper than that. You see, when we live our life living in the anticipation or the possibility of loss, we tailor our actions and our attitudes and our words so often to live a life of fear because we could lose. Our life of fear instead is lack of faith and conditioning our life to live in such a way that we don't act as God would have us to act. An example, as Jesus says, is do not fear the ones who can kill the body only, destroy the body only, but fear him who can destroy the body and cast the soul into hell as well. What Jesus was saying with this is, and he said in a different place, do not live your life in such a way just to please people or to live in the fear of people, because we might lose our reputation. We might have people think badly of us. We might have people make fun of us, or whatever it might happen to be. We might lose our reputation. That too is fear. Even though our palms may not be sweaty, even though the adrenaline may not be running, as long as we live a life where we're wanting to win the approval of people rather than the approval of God, that is living life in fear. God deliver us from that fear. God deliver us from that lack of faith, that we might live a life where we say, the one we please is God. The one we please is the risen Lord, because it's his approval that we seek. His commendation rather than those around us. Now, I'm not saying go out and just be brassy. There's plenty of people in this world who speak their minds. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about living a life where we say, I seek to live to win the approval of God rather than of people. And there's a huge difference. Not living a life of fear. I know one person. He said to me on one occasion, the Lord said to me, share Jesus with this person. And he got tongue-tied. I don't know what his emotion was, but he didn't. And you know, and I'm not trying to just be a downer, but it's just one example that came to mind. He said, this was a long way away, so don't try and guess. He said, a number of weeks later, she died of a virulent case of cancer of the stomach. Pardon me? Am I cutting in and out? Maybe I better stand still today. Not trying to be a downer, but there's times where we need to be bold to say, is it when I turn my head? Okay, I'll have to just speak to this side. So you're under conviction too. I'm not just preaching to this side. Or I'll have to go like this. There, how's this? That there are times where we need to obey. And when we don't obey, it's a matter of walking in fear. Where we need to say, Lord, you are with me no matter what. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the struggle, we want to live by faith. We want to live in the Lord. And therefore, we say, yes, Lord. The disciples normally would have been in danger, but they were with Jesus. They did not recognize the importance. Don't you care if we drown? They said to Jesus. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? The words that are there are just so full of meaning. Hear what they're saying to Jesus. Jesus, why are you asleep? How can we trust you? How can we trust you when you're asleep in the midst of the storm? You should be rowing. You should be helping us to get to shore, to get out of this storm. You should be helping us out here. You see, A lot of times when we speak about faith, we can speak about one word that we can easily grasp, and that's the word trust. Do we trust the Lord? Do you trust? There are people in your life, I believe, that you trust. When they say they are going to do something, they do it. And you say, that's a person that I can depend upon. Have you ever, conversely, have you ever said to a person, I don't trust you? It's a pretty strong word, isn't it? A pretty devastating word, I don't trust you. That's what Jesus calls us to do, is to trust him, to trust the promises that he gives, to trust him that he is trustworthy in all he does, in all he says. He is trustworthy. That he says, I will go to Jerusalem. So you'll get through the storm. It's okay. I will provide for you. I will be with you, most of all. I will bless you. I will have my hand upon you so that no matter whether earth and heaven pass away, my word, the word of God, will remain secure. That we look to Jesus and focus our life upon Jesus and keep our eyes focused upon him, not upon the changing circumstances and the storms that are around us. They said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? And so often, that's what happens. That's what we do when we get in the middle of a storm. We say, Jesus, don't you care if we drown? Jesus, don't you care if this happens? Don't you care if we lose this? And so often what we say to the Lord is, Lord, get me out of this storm. Lord, I don't want any storms in my life. Lord, I just want smooth sailing. I just want pleasant breezes. I just want to walk in the quiet valley, in the still valley, beside the quiet waters. I want to walk upon the green meadows in my bare feet and feel the grass tickle my toes. That's all I want from you, Lord. That's what I really, really want from you. And when the storms of life arise, and when the challenges and the difficulties of life arise, the first thing that we so often say is, Lord, get me out of here. Don't you care if? Don't you care? Lord, I'm in the middle of this storm. But you know, as I say, for the disciples, the best place for them to be was in the middle of the storm. And there are times, and we know this already, there are times where we have to go through the storm in order that we know the grace and the sufficiency of God in the midst of life. That He is able to keep us. That He is able, that it is worth it for us to love Him and serve Him. I've seen it different times. I saw it somewhere in a posting, whatever. And then as I was driving along on an occasion out in front of a high school, I saw this motto. Calm waters do not make a skilled mariner. And in a way, that's what Jesus would have us to do. There are times where we have to go through the storms of life. The storms of life will come. And we need to say, Lord, I will trust you. I will believe you. I will put my life in your hands. Verse 41, they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Curious, isn't it? They were terrified and asked each other. Now, the question that comes to my mind is, why is it that Mark writes they were terrified at that point? Previously, they were afraid, as Jesus said, of the storm. But all of a sudden, they're not just afraid of the storm, they're terrified. Who is this? Big difference, isn't it? There's a difference in magnitude between fear and terror. Terror is that abject grip. And they were terrified in the midst of that, in the midst of this, not in the storm, but they were terrified in the midst of the calm. They were terrified in the midst of the calm because they said, who is this? Mark in his gospel has already shown Jesus. Heaven opens up and the Spirit rests upon him. He is responsive to the Spirit's guidance. He enjoys the guidance of the Spirit and the apostolic ministry. He received the testimony of God of his sonship, and he refused the testimony of demons. He preaches and he teaches with authority. He heals the sick. He expels the demons. He forgives sins. And now he is presented by Mark as the Lord of creation and the Lord of nature. And now he stills the storm. It's as if the disciples are saying, what else can he do? What else? Who is this? Even the storms obey. In our house, sometimes wrestling gets turned on.
Debbie's fault.
Debbie's fault? Yeah, she's so young. Yes. And there are an interesting cast of characters on wrestling. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of you have a secret passion. Maybe you watch the Gaither Gospel Hour or Billy Graham, and then when that's done, turn it on to wrestling. Give him the chair! come off the ladder. Well, apparently, there was one wrestler called Mark Henry, the world's strongest athlete. And I don't know how big he is, but he is a big fellow. And he's really, really broad at shoulders. And he is a very powerful person. That he seems to pick up, and maybe it's not all fake, I don't know. Seems to pick up these great big wrestlers and just slam them down on the mat. But regardless of whether it's fake or not, he is a very powerful person, a very strong person. You know, if I were in the midst of a jam, I would want, and I needed some strength, I know whom I would want to have on my side. It wouldn't probably be some of the midget wrestlers. I don't know if you call them midgets anymore. I don't know if that's politically correct. You know, little person, I think, is the right term. I'm not sure if I wanted to pick up a heavy rock or pull out a stump or anything like that. I'd want to have a little person pushing on the pry bar. I think I'd want to have somebody like Mark Henry pushing on the pry bar. I don't know whether he's 350 pounds, lots of muscle. I think I'd rather have somebody like him pushing on the pry bar or lifting or doing something like that. Well, I know who in a jam I would like to be close to. Who is this? His name is Jesus. I know in the midst of a storm, in the midst of the calm, I know whom I want to be close to. His name is Jesus. His name is Lord. His name is Savior. His name is Everlasting Counselor, Prince of Peace. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the resurrection and the life. He said, no one comes to the Father but by me. He is the bright and the morning star, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one whose name is praised forevermore. He is Lord. He is Savior. His name is Jesus. He is the one who saves. That's the one I want on my side, or rather, I want to be on his side. I want to be on his side. And Jesus gives us the opportunity. He says, come to me, and I will give you rest. I don't know what storms or what calm you're facing. Or maybe you've never really trusted Jesus before. But now is the opportunity. Now is the day where you can say, Lord, I might not understand everything, or I have a lot of questions, but I will trust you. I know what trust is, and I know what lack of trust is. But I will make a decision today to trust you. Maybe for the first time. Or you've been walking with the Lord for many decades, many years, as a little person. You knelt beside your parents' bed or at an altar and you said, Jesus, come into my life. And you've been trusting. But there may be new storms where you're tempted to take your eyes off Jesus. We renew our covenant of trust today. Who is he? He is the one who stills the storms. Let us do it today. Let's trust the Lord. Let's sing in conclusion, 493, written in the midst of